Our scripture reading for this Lord's Day is the lectionary passage from Jeremiah. I'm reading to you from chapter 33 and sharing with you verses 14 through 16. The Old Testament reading for this Sunday is Jeremiah 33, 14 to 16. Listen for the word of God. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. May God bless this reading of his holy word for us today. Amen. Please stand. Be seated. Won't you pray with me? Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So I joined a gym again. And one of the things you notice when you go back to being at a gym is all the information that they have on the equipment that you use anymore. I am not going crazy with this. I am basically using the elliptical machine and I am swimming. And on the elliptical machine, I have gotten to about 28 minutes, and I'm kind of proud of that. For those of you who are really into fitness, probably that is just such, you know, small potatoes. But for me, it's an accomplishment. So we celebrate every little step in a good direction that we make. Two more minutes till I am 30 minutes on the elliptical. And those last 2 minutes are just feeling kind of overwhelming right now. I looked at the screen on the machine carefully, because I hadn't been doing that. I thought, okay, what is it that I really need to know about the results of my workout? And my eyes did go to calories burned. I know. 28 minutes, and I am sweating, 128 calories burned. That's like one large banana. Really? Really? It just doesn't seem like there's any justice. It really doesn't. But I'll keep going, and you know, you can check on me. Check on me with the progress I am making, because I really need to be accountable with this effort. I truly do. But I know that you know what I mean when I say that, you know, you work hard towards something or you're trying to hang in there even when the going is tough, and you just don't see a lot of immediate benefit for your persevering, for your hanging in there. Patience may be a virtue, but patience certainly is not for the faint of heart, especially when we don't see a lot of progress, right? And even in the small things that happen in life, and they, you know, they just don't happen on our timeline, I mean, it kind of makes us a little nuts. I don't know about you, but have you ever found yourself waiting for the elevator, and you push the up button, and it doesn't come, and so you push it again, and you push it again, like that's really going to do anything, right? Or what about when you're waiting at a checkout line and you're in a hurry and you're in the express lane and you notice the person ahead of you and you start counting the number of items they have put on the belt? I mean 14, not 12. Seriously, it can be a problem. Or what about when you're calling on the phone? We've all had this, and you hear a wonderful recording like, "All of our customer representatives are busy right now. Please wait for the next available operator. Your call will be taken in the order it is received. Your call is important to us." Ah, patience. Patience is really, really a tough go. But have you ever wondered this? If it's so hard to learn patience on a really small scale, what about learning patience when the stakes are bigger, when it's on a larger scale, when it really matters, when we have trouble feeling hopeful and we just don't see the good signs that we want to see and hope? Hope itself doesn't even feel within our grasp. Many of us can name the darkness that we have a sense of, which we feel does surround us. We can name a list of things without even thinking twice. I know right off the bat what's on my list. The horrific amount of gun violence is on my list. The burgeoning refugee crisis in our world, a situation that our world hasn't ever really seen the extent of, that's on my list. On my list are starving children in Yemen. In Yemen, and who knows how that situation is going to get resolved. I mean, darkness is darkness, right? And then what about all of those personal things that we deal with, our own personal struggles within family, estrangement in relationships, perhaps, or the loss, the tragedy that we feel we have to cope with, illness, you know? All of those things weigh heavy on us. Darkness is there. One of the things that I love is sometimes certain quotes that put things in just the right way, and I think this is spot on. A United Methodist minister has said this when he's talked about the patience that we need, the hope that we look for. He says, quote, "What we are hoping for at the end of the line is what makes the hope worthwhile. Just ask a woman who has labor pains, or a person who needs to shed 50 pounds, or someone homeless moving up the list for permanent housing. Don't ask someone at the DMV." I thought that was pretty good. So it's worth hanging on to hope when we believe with all of our might in what we are persevering for, why we persevere in the first place. I mean, this is what I really would like for you to hear. We have to recognize that the darkness that seems as close and pervasive of a companion as ever, that darkness, and then our ability to hang on, to hold on, to be, you know, patient and right in there with hope, that ability is directly proportional to the value we place on what we are hoping for. We have to recognize that pervasive darkness and hanging on within it, and the ability to do so is directly proportional to the value of what we are waiting for, of what we are looking for, of what we feel is so important. So the season of Advent is actually about a good spiritual practice with darkness. It truly is. In the Northern Hemisphere, Advent takes place in the kind of the darkest time of the year. We're coming up to Christmas, and that's around the time of the winter solstice, and the winter solstice means it's the darkest day of the year. And so there's, you know, really good reason for this, because it's the message of Advent that is this: darkness exists. It means we can't see what we want to see, but don't be fooled. How you deal with darkness is of critical importance. And how you handle darkness now, during this time, is a pattern, a template for how you handle darkness in life in general. You will be celebrating the birth of Jesus, but not yet, because you have to experience what it means to hold on to hope in darkness. And when you experience that, you will be ready to truly see the value and truly hold on to the light of Christmas. The experience has to form you, has to shape you, has to find deep roots within you. And only when it does will you know the true value of what you are patiently waiting for. By persevering with hope, you stand as a living witness to that which can never be overcome through any and all forms of lightness, of darkness. You stand as a witness to what cannot be overcome by all forms of pervasive darkness, unrelenting darkness. So notice Jeremiah for today, our prophet. We don't often talk about Jeremiah. Jeremiah is known as the doom and gloom prophet. That's just a fact. And what we have for today, though, is this passage that is a passage of hope. Okay? What Jeremiah does is he calls out for hope in the darkest of times. Hold on to God's alternate vision. Don't lose sight. Hope. Hope, that's his point. God's purposes will not be thwarted by those who conspire against them. Hold on to your highest hope, which is God's dream for the world, he says. And even when you must be patient in order to see it, even when violence and hatred is spinning out of control, even when injustice seems to be around every bend, even when you, O Israel, do things that thwart God's plan for you, contradict the fact that God's dream will ever be fulfilled, even then, hold on, he says. The quote, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land." Now, for Jeremiah, a little bit of trivia for you to know. For Jeremiah, this wasn't just mental confidence that he is putting out there as saying, "Thus says the Lord." It's not just, you know, something that went on in his belief system. Something interesting about Jeremiah is he bought land, he bought property in Judah. When all were being taken off in exile, he bought land. And his reason for buying land, well, he bought a piece of land because of his confidence that one day God would bring about restoration and that would pave the way for the righteous branch to spring up for David, the one who would execute justice and righteousness in the land. I love these words of Thoreau. Thoreau said this: "Though I do not believe a plant will grow up where no seed has been. I have great faith in a seed. Convince me you have a seed planted there, and I am prepared to expect wonders. The seed we plant is our faith. The seed we plant is our faith in true light and true love and true peace and true righteousness and real and sustaining life for all. That is the seed that we plant. And that seed that we plant is represented by the first light, the first candle that we have lit on our Advent wreath today. Reminds us that when fear, can deplete us to such a degree we can't even hardly fathom, when hopelessness can unnerve us, there is a light which we know will sustain and will give us what we need to carry on. Praise be to our God this day. Let us pray. Ever-living and eternal God, we know that we need to look to you for strength. Help us hold on for what we cannot see. Help us remember that you give us sustaining power even in times that feel dark, as you give us sustaining power in times that feel light. No matter what, you are our God, and we are grateful to be here together this Advent season, looking to you in the light of your love. Be with us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.